Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein.
Lower the music a little bit so that you can hear me better. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to shut it off. Hey, everybody. Hi. Thank you and welcome to Tippy Talk. Today, we have Rachel Mann, who's a PhD, that is joining us. And there's so much about Rachel that there's no way I can do justice to anything. The only thing I can tell you guys is that Rachel kind of maybe had three different lives and three different directions that she was able to switch from one to the other. But where she's at right now is kind of a shaman working on a school called Mother Earth Mysticism. And it's about connecting spiritually and psychologically and emotionally to the earth and to the way that actually we were meant to live. So I guess it's a spiritual and a soul-searching way. I'm going to bring Rachel Mann in and let you guys hear her fascinating story. One second. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Tiffy.
Are you here with us?
How are you? Yeah, I sure am.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm glad to be
great,
here.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you came, and I'm so excited, and thank you so much for joining us, Rachel. I don't even know what word to use, but for people that are spiritual healers and people that have become aware of the fact that there's a lot of pain and a lot of healing that needs to take place. And I think that most people like that, like things that you do, is people that bring light into this planet right now that we really need. So I want to thank you for what you do. And I want to start with, how did you start your path? Like, where did you start your journey?
Okay, well, you know, thank you. And thanks for that introduction. And it's great to be here with you. So there really are three paths. There are three streams, as I call them, that come together in terms of bringing me where I am today. And so the first is the childhood trauma that I experienced, and then my healing journey out of that from depression, anxiety, and symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. The second is my academic career and my interdisciplinary research on trauma, violence, and peace. And the third is my deep spiritual journey into Buddhism, Native American spirituality, and shamanism. So I kind of like to talk about the three streams, because sometimes when people hear about my life, they think that, you know, it kind of surprises them that, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing now, given what I was doing before. But they mm-hmm. all intersect in kind of this amazingly creative way. So, mm-hmm. so yes, I currently am a shamanic healer and spiritual teacher who integrates Buddhism, Native American spirituality, Western shamanism, and depth psychotherapy into a rich and integrated program to assist people in taking what only seems like maybe a distant possibility in their lives, like this deep heart's longing that they may have for something, and yet their outer circumstances seem to be working against it, turning it into the highest probability, or what we would call shamanically their highest destiny for life. So, and how did mm-hmm. I get here? So I'm 59 years old. I've been doing this particular piece since my mid-40s, when in 2007, I got a call from, you might say I got a fire under my ass, a message from the spirits, saying that I needed to step up and do what I'm meant to, what I'm here to do, and that I know what that is, and if I don't do it, I was going to get sicker and maybe even die younger, and if I waited any longer, it was going to get harder and harder. So, but there were many threads leading up to that particular kind of crisis moment, right? Mm-hmm. Which includes these three streams. So, if you'd like me to go on in the answer, I can, or you can just ask me any other question you want, but I can say more about how all these streams came together. So,
thank you, Rachel. Yes, I definitely want to hear more about all these streams together, but I want to point out, you said something really important. You said that you had some fire burning under your ass, basically forcing your ass to get up and do something. And I think that that's one of the common denominators that a lot of people have these days. For me, it was basically the way I see it was that I got knocked over my head. Had a car accident where everything in my body broke, and that kind of woke me up.
Mm.
So I think if you kind of resist waking up, which a lot of people do because you have a career, you've gone to school for 1,000 years to learn what you're going to do, you're finally doing
mm-hmm.
it. Even though you have an itch to go somewhere else, you kind of go with the flow and you go with it every
right.
day. And unless something dramatic really happens, like somebody lights a fire on you, somebody knocks you over the head, you're really not going to make a change. And I think at that point, that's when whatever your destiny is will come and say, wait a minute, if you're not going to do it, we're either going to make
right.
you do it or you're going to die. I mean, that's really the choice.
Yeah.
And I love
yeah.
that because people don't realize when something like that happens, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like you're either going to do it yourself or we're going to have to rattle you, you know, like a parent giving a kid a spanking or something. So I just wanted to mention that it's something very common that is happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's a very
common story actually across the planet of
mm-hmm.
Medicine people and shamans in many cultures that they have some kind of mm-hmm. healing crisis, illness or something where they're taken to the edge of mm-hmm. death and, you know, as they say, the spirits sort of shake them down and shake them out and, you know, and tell them that, you know, they need to step up, and if they don't, then, you know, maybe they're going to go crazy or they're going to die or whatever, yeah. So it's
mm-hmm.
a very common mm-hmm. medicine story, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes,
yeah,
I do want you to continue. I do have two people that are listening in that might have a question for you later on. Are you open to taking a question?
Oh, sure, of course,
and then,
yeah. I would love
I don't
to.
Usually
Thank
like
you for
to
joining.
Do, I don't Thank you. If you're listening, we are aware that you're there and we will come to you later on. I usually don't like to do that, especially when it's a surprise, but I specifically spoke to someone today, Erica, if it's you, that I asked them to join us because it felt like it was the right vibration and it was the right time to do. So Just want you to be aware of that. So just stand by. But I do want you to finish your story. I think it's very interesting. And also another don't want to forget about is not too many people know where the Andes Mountains are. Not too many people know what it is. I happen to know it's a long story. There's a long story behind my Andes Mountain experience, but I want to hear yours and I want to hear what you have to say about that. But first, let's hear your story of how you were able to switch from being a professor to being a shamanic healer. I mean, there's such a huge, dramatic difference.
Yeah. Well, and firstly, it's the Andes in South America, and specifically of Peru, just FYI. So,
yes.
More on that later. Well, you know, I've known since childhood that I've had since childhood a very spiritual worldview, and I've known since childhood somehow I knew that I had some kind of spiritual mission. I mean, I didn't really, of course, know what that was, but it was just a feeling, right? And at a very young age during Vietnam, when we were watching every night on the news the numbers of wounded and dead for each day, I became deeply concerned with the existence of war and violence on the planet, and I really wanted it to end. I mean, it became kind of an obsession. And I also became an avid reader at an early age, and so I was reading books like Russian novelists' books on the Stalinist purges in the Soviet Union after the Russian Revolution. And then alongside that, I had a gift of empathy, you know, obviously a gift of empathy and compassion for humanity and animals as well as the earth. And I really painfully knew, and I didn't just know it in my head, I think I really felt it, that how much people suffered and animals suffered and Mother Earth suffered, right, from how out of balance our world is, okay? So by the time I was in my early 20s and I actually left to, I came to graduate school to get a master's degree in Soviet studies, I was suffering from depression, anxiety, and what I later learned were symptoms of PTSD. And this was all from the trauma of being raised by a mother who I many years later kind of figured out had narcissistic personality disorder and who was throughout my life psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and sexually abusive. So she really became my greatest tormentor. She was my greatest tormentor, and yet she was my greatest teacher. She also was interested in spirituality and had intuitive and psychic gifts and really practiced Buddhism on and off throughout her life. So I set out really in my early 20s on a healing journey, starting with talk therapy, and then I continued through the years to seek out other therapeutic modalities and eventually discovered shamanic energy medicine in my early 40s. And all of this was in an effort to heal my trauma and to, you know, really find inner peace, which of course is what all of us really want, right? And then, you know, through the healing of my wounds and my spiritual explorations of consciousness and my intuition, I had and have had direct experiences and visions, dreams, meditations, and healing sessions of how healing myself was also healing the world of pain and violence. And so in my early 20s, I went to study with a living Buddhist teacher because my mother had introduced me to Buddhism when I was like 10 years old. And I kind of by then thought, and I considered myself a Buddhist because I believed in reincarnation. I knew I had lived other lifetimes. I didn't just believe in reincarnation, but I knew I'd lived another lifetime. So through a healer, I found out about Venerable Dani Iwahu in Vermont, who is a recognized teacher in the Tibetan Buddhist Drinkin Kagyu lineage, and she's also the holder of an ancient Salagi or Cherokee wisdom lineage. And so when I went to meet her for the first time in Vermont, much to my astonishment, it was the Cherokee teachings that kind of blew open my heart and mind. And that completely changed the trajectory of my life in radical, in powerful ways. I continued to study with her. I also studied Buddhism in the Vipassana tradition. And so all these things all came together, really. You know, my spiritual study, I continued to study with teachers like Jack Kornfield and Sharon Salzberg, went to retreats with them. And at the same time in my academic career, after the Cold War ended, I ended up being in a job, being in a career track of helping faculty members integrate cutting-edge digital technologies into their teaching in the mid-90s to the early 2000s. And in the meantime, I was able as a professor to develop my own courses, undergraduate classes. And I did on topics of about trauma, violence, healing, and spirituality. And I also developed many programs in the university and for the community to help people understand the impact of trauma in their lives and to know how to heal from it and how to help others heal from it. So really, when I left my job in 2007, my academic career, which by then had been for about 20 years, I'd already been doing a lot of things, you know, that were pointing towards the healing gifts. So I left, you know, I went to study with Alberto Biodo, who's a very well-known shaman in the Western world who had the Four Winds Healing the Light Body School, and I went and studied with him. And then I hung out my shingle as a shamanic healer in 2008 and started teaching, offering spiritual teachings a couple of years later. And I've never looked back because I absolutely know that I am manifesting, I'm fulfilling my mission in life and my purpose for life.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like even the mother that you had and everything else in your life basically prepared you to do exactly what you're doing right now. So it sounds like you're on the right path, and it feels like you're on the right path, right?
Yeah. Well, and in fact, you know, that's the beauty of our lives. You know, on a soul level, we basically choose and design our life so that we can grow and evolve and learn. And all of the people that the family we're born into is like chosen, right? Yeah, so my mother was she was a very brilliant, gifted, talented woman who unfortunately, due to what I think was abuse in her life, you know, was, you know, just was deeply wounded, right? Deeply troubled.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we had this very incredible and powerful bond. So even with all the, you know, her crazy behaviors, you know, there was this like deep love between us. And, you know, I mean, of course children love their parents, you know, in a sense, unconditionally, really. But, I mean, she was also, you know, she taught me about art and architecture and history and literature and religion and Buddhism and, you know, and then because of the pain she caused in me, I had to go deep within myself in order to really find out who I was, you know, and because of her, you know, I plumbed the depths of, you know, deep within me and found my strength, found my courage, and found my path. So, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right on.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So before you go into the Andes, I'm going to bring our caller in and just see, in case that they want to ask you a question, and then after that we'll discuss the Andes Mountains, and then you'll tell us a little bit more about your Meta Knowledge for Peace Institute, which I'm very curious to know what it is and what you do and where it is and all that stuff. So stand by 1 second. Let's see. Hi, caller. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Desmond calling from Cleveland, Ohio. How y'all doing tonight?
Hi,
Desmond.
Desmond. Good. Do you have a question for Rachel?
Not at the moment. I mean, I'll wait till she's finished describing her, her journey. So I do have one later, but
wonderful.
Right now.
Wonderful, Desmond. So stand by, and we will let Rachel finish telling us everything that we want to know about her fascinating life. So stand by. Rachel, okay. So
yeah,
that's
I'm
Desmond.
Here.
Very happy to know
And, great to hear your voice, Desmond.
So the end.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, so the Andes Mountains have always been, for me, ever since I heard about it, a fascinating thing. I was told that halfway up the mountains or more, there's a sign that says that you might be seeing UFOs. And then when you keep going up, that's what there's a little community of people that live on top of the mountain that are a culture by itself. Were you all the way up on top of the mountain? Did you see that sign going up?
Ah, okay. Well, so firstly, the Andes is a mountain range, right? In the same way that the Rocky Mountains are a mountain range or the Himalayas are a mountain range. So it's possible that you may be talking about the mountain called Ausangate, but I have not been to Ausangate myself, so I don't know. I've never heard the story about the sign, but it's very possible. And, I've read articles probably like anybody who's interested who thinks there's life outside of the earth. You know, I've read articles that have talked about different places in the Andes, mountain ranges, that there seem to be, more
sightings
of, UFOs. But generally, my interest in my connection to Peru and to the Andes Mountains is really through the spiritual teachings that I received through Alberto Viodo, because he basically studied with and learned some of what he teaches from the Caro people, who are an indigenous nation that live in the high Andes in the Cusco city area of Peru. And they have a very deep and rich spiritual cosmology and worldview that then, I gather from stories that I've heard and things that I've read that, starting about 40, 50 years ago, a few white men, sort of, anthropologists went and met them and realized that they had deep wisdom and began to kind of learn from them and then translated what they learned into books they published and things like that. So, and I've been to Peru, once. My former partner is actually an Indian of a different nation in Peru called the Chanca. And so he and I traveled in Peru and, I went to Machu Picchu. And Peru definitely is like, I feel like it's one of the places on earth where the veil between the worlds is very thin and the spiritual energies of the earth there are so powerful, and that if you go there, you can't help but be somehow changed in your consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we lose you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mhm. Yeah. I
no,
mean,
we didn't lose
yeah.
you. I thought for a minute that you were gone.
Yeah.
But you're not, and I'm glad you're not. Oh, okay. So Peru in itself is fascinating. Machu Picchu, I guess, is one of those things that is also fantastic, but up in the Andes Mountains, I guess there are different communities in different ranges of the mountain. That makes a lot of sense, too. So you have created the Made on Knowledge for Peace University. And
no, it's actually,
I love
can
that
I,
name.
Can I correct you? No, the name of my institute is the Institute for Awakened Heart Shamanism. I think what you're thinking of is my consulting business, which is called Meta Knowledge for Peace.
Ah, okay. So what's the name of your
business? Meta Knowledge for Peace, I consult with organizations working with problems of trauma and violence and trying to foster peace. But my Institute for Awakened Heart Shamanism is where I teach the spiritual principles and practices that I've integrated from Buddhism, Native American spirituality, and shamanism. So just to be clear, yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, so you don't really work that much with the Meta Knowledge for Peace Institute. You work more right now with the Institute for Awakened Heart Shamanism.
Yep, that's what I do. Yeah.
Okay, so it is kind of has a connection because you said it's basically working with problem solving.
Yeah.
Specific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So the Institute for Awakened Heart Shamanism, that's the one we're talking about now.
Right.
What is it? Like, yeah. So tell us about that.
Well, the Institute for Awakened Heart Shamanism is really a new name for what I used to call the Great Medicine Wheel School of Mother Earth Mysticism, which is what is on your website, but you didn't know I changed the name, so I'm announcing it to the world right now. And so through the Institute of Awakened Heart Shamanism, as I said, I have integrated the wisdom, the practices, the tools from my study of Buddhism, shamanism, Native American spirituality, and depth psychology into online group programs. One of them is called Unlock Possibility into Probability in Your Life, and the other is Transform Your Healing Crisis into Gold. And I also teach an intensive program of spiritual transformation and initiation into the medicine path of the healer, creative, and peacemaker. And that's a four-weekend intensive, including one-on-one mentoring over a year. So in the shamanic tradition, there is, and when I speak of shamanism, I'm really not speaking about Native American religion, spirituality, and medicine. And I do that very purposefully because shamanism as the word shamanism and shamanism as a whole has been used over many, many decades to kind of stereotype, Native and indigenous cultures and medicine and traditions. So I use shamanism to really mean a practice in the westernized world that is earth-inspired, and that is focused on deep transformation and the expansion of consciousness and the evolution of our soul through deep introspection, spiritual study, and working with transforming the blocks and wounds that are inside of us. So that's essentially what I do. And for healers, anybody who feels called to the path of a healer or the path, you might say, of the shaman, through my institute, they go through an intensive training and initiation, and then they can train in, and then I teach them I put in their hands the tools of the healer, which is shamanic energy medicine. Yeah. I'm sorry, I go on and on. It's just my old professorial personality.
No, I like it. I like what you have to say. It's not that you're going on and on. It's that you're telling us what you're doing. So what would be the results of someone that comes and starts working with that institute? What would be the ideal result from that?
Well, the ideal result in the institute is that, I mean, there really are kind of two results. And I should also say that I have a one-on-one shamanic mentoring program, a three-month shamanic mentoring program, in which I work with people intensively over 3 months to really, help them bring their highest dreams for life into manifestation, and then to heal and transform and bust through the blocks that are keeping them from that, right? And that's one-on-one work in which I bring forth shamanic energy medicine, and I bring forth many other tools and ways of working with people out of what I call my medicine basket of love. In order, so in that program, the idea is that somebody will come through it, and
yes,
they'll really see a huge change in their inner world, their inner life, much less inner conflict, much greater sense of optimism and hope, groundedness, and that they will also mm-hmm. feel inspiration and energy to step towards their deepest heart longings for what they want to manifest in the world. And in the process, they will also feel greater freedom from whatever traumas or wounds they have that have been affecting their lives in the present from the past, right? And in the so that's in the one-on-one work. Now in the intensive shamanic training and initiation, because in shamanism what we understand is that in order to become free, in order to step into our power and into our sovereignty, we absolutely have to go deep within ourselves to find and confront the negative thinking, the old beliefs that are holding us back, and the personal and ancestral wounds that are also holding us back, so that we can step into mastery, self-mastery, and courage and empowerment in our lives. And so that is the deep initiation. And it is said that the greatest shamans of the world have actually become the greatest shamans because they have healed themselves. And therefore, they are able to turn around and help others reach that place of healing themselves, and then to be able to turn around and give that back in sacred reciprocity to others to help them heal and to help the planet heal. And in my vision, to end violence and create a planet of peace for everyone. So so that's the core of my work, is deep personal transformation, deep spiritual study of deep spiritual wisdom that is designed to open up and transform consciousness, to help us evolve into a higher level of consciousness, and in our day-to-day lives to bring our spirituality down into the practical so that we can live our spirituality and live our lives as a human being in a human body and do so in a way that feels grounded and directed and abundant.
I love the idea of shamans who have healed themselves, and that's why they can turn around and either heal others or show others how to heal themselves. But I don't understand what sacred reciprocity for others. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, so the truth is that we live on Mother Earth in reciprocity, right, with all beings. So, a very concrete example is that, you know, we breathe oxygen in, and the oxygen is expelled by the trees, right? Because oxygen is poisonous to them. And then we breathe out carbon dioxide, which is the trees need, right? And that is just a natural process of reciprocity, okay? I like to call it sacred.
Okay, I understand.
Because I think it...
Right.
And then reciprocity also means, like, when I, you know, like in my life, I've had many healers and spiritual teachers who have helped me tremendously, and to heal, to spiritually grow and evolve and deepen, and that I want to, in a way, pay that forward, right, to give that back to others. And to me, that's like a sacred trust as a human being, that you know, when we receive generously, and we receive generously as human beings from Mother Earth every day with every breath that we breathe, right?
Right.
And from the animals and the plants and so on. And to live in that spirit of gratitude, and through saying prayers of gratitude, in fact, we are offering back what is given to us, right? And then in terms of like our life's journey, when we have faced, you know, a big crisis in our life, or we've had heavy trauma, you know, and people's trauma runs the gamut, right? You know, from family mm-hmm. trauma to war to violence to racism to whatever, you know, we're seeing a mm-hmm. lot of people, you know, in our country, you know, the immigrants, right, mm-hmm. that are being targeted so cruelly, right? And so when mm-hmm. when we get to a point that we come to a place of creating meaning and purpose out of that experience, right? We can yeah. then give that meaning and purpose back to others, you know, and help them come out of that pit, right, of being caught, captured by, you know, whatever the pain has been. And sometimes it's not just our pain, it's our family's pain, it's our ancestors' pain. We can be caught in cycles of pain that go generation after generation, right? And I think there are many people stepping up in this time in families and communities and the nation who have precisely incarnated on Earth right now in order to be the light keepers, to be the ones who heal themselves, and then to carry that medicine of transformation into the world so that really on a collective level, we're even in the midst of all the terrible things that are happening, we are day after day holding and hopefully raising the vibration of the planet so that eventually the tide will turn and humanity will come to its senses.
That's beautiful. I understand that. That makes,
yeah.
And you know, we do need...
Yeah, and it's what you're all about.
Hearing.
It's what
and
you're
do
trying
need
to do.
The...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you're doing too, Tiffy. You're one of them, right? You're one of us.
I really believe that we could bring what I call heaven on earth. And I believe that
mm-hmm.
we could all live in harmony. And I know that a lot of people think that that's a dream because so many people have promised to give humanity that kind of a freedom to be able to live that way. And most of those dictators and Nazis that promised all those things ended up being power hungry, basically slave drivers. But that doesn't
yeah.
mean that now we finally reached a point where we have the technology, we have the knowledge, and we have a lot of people, a lot of light workers coming into themselves and realizing that that's all they want to do is they want to spread as much for the spiritual realm so that people will wake up. And
mm-hmm.
I think, so
yeah.
I think not only that it's possible, I really think that that's our destiny. So whatever
it's
it is
probable.
That you're doing, that you're driven to do, yeah, you're driven to do it. It's not like anybody's making you do it. You're driven to do it and you,
no.
And you love it and you love it on top of it. So, yeah, I think
yeah.
it definitely is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's across all religions.
Over.
It's. Oh, yeah, we're
yes.
over. I'm sorry, because
yes.
I talk too much.
Yeah. No, you don't. You talk beautifully. And we are a little bit over the time, but I really did not want to interrupt you. I wanted to hear everything you have to say. And I want to know if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get you?
Great. So I can be reached at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Mann, M-A-N, N, two N's, Ph-D, at gmail.com. And you can find out more about my work at my website at rachelmannphd.com. The new Institute website is currently under construction and will be up soon with program offerings for this year. And I just want to let everybody know that I'm currently signing up a small number of clients for the spring into my one-on-one personalized shamanic mentoring program. So if you're interested, you can go to my website And there's a button there where you can sign up for a free one-hour vision session with me.
So it's Rachel Mann with two N's, RachelMannPhD. .com. That's all you have to do, and
yep.
They've got you. Okay, so before I let you go, I'm going to check in with Desmond and see if he would like to or not, but hold, stand by. One second. Let me get Desmond
okay.
in here. Hi, Desmond.
Hello.
Welcome to Tippy Talk. Anything that you would like to ask Rachel before I let her go?
Yeah, I had a comment and a question. The comment, it's interesting, like, we all have to go through, I guess the ass-kicking stage to do what you put here on this earth to do, like, you know, like I'm going through it now, so I can relate to it fully. And my question was, so how long was...
One second, so let me answer you about your comment before you ask your question. I don't think you necessarily have to have your ass kicked, because a lot of people don't have to. They already wake up without that and go on the path that they're supposed to go. It's just that when we don't go on that path that we're supposed to go, then something happens to make us do it. Do you want to say anything about that, Rachel?
Yeah, well, Desmond, you were saying that you relate to this idea of having your ass kicked. I'd like to actually hear a little more, because you, Desmond, were saying that you're feeling like you're going through an ass-kicking moment in your life right now.
Yeah, like referring to you're supposed to do whatever you're supposed to do here on this earth, as a healer or a teacher. Or
yeah.
If you don't, you know, the situations get tighter and tighter. As you know, whatever you don't do, it just gets tighter. So that's the lesson. So everybody's
right.
here for
right.
a reason, a purpose. So that's what happened.
Yeah, and that's what Tippy was saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
right.
And my question was, my question was, so during your shamanic training, how long were you over in Peru?
Oh, okay. So my shamanic training was not in Peru, okay? Actually, Alberto Viota's shamanic school was here in the U.S. At a couple of venues up in New England and New York. I only traveled to Peru. I traveled to Peru, as I said, in 2015 with my then partner, who was from Peru. But, you know, the training itself took me about 2 years to go through it, although I could have done it faster, given the time and the finances, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I say I was trained by the spirits long before I got formal training. So, you know, I think, again,
right.
that speaks to what Tippy said about life kind of gives you, you know, through the ass kicking or the movement of your life towards the ass kick, if you aren't paying attention, you get trained. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you don't know why until later on in life, when you come up against
yeah.
it and you say, oh, so that's what this was for. And then everything clicks into place.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right on, Tippy. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Desmond, for calling. I really appreciate it. And
we do
have one more caller, Rachel, that I'm going to quickly check into. So one second. Let me see who that is. Who is my mystery caller today on this line? Hi, who is my mystery caller? I'm talking to 8292. Is that you? Okay, so we might have been put on hold, and they might be just listening, and that's fine, too. I love that. Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us today and talking about something which I obviously, you know, that I think is one of the most important things that anyone can do right now to this planet. It doesn't matter what perspective you come from. It doesn't matter what part of the world you come from. It just matters that you are working to make people's lives easier, to get rid of the pain and the suffering and the obstacles that stand between you and where you should be, which is totally content, totally in the moment, and just happily receiving all the abundance that the creator of the universe, not the universe, and that's what I call God, the creator of the universe, really wants to give to us. Because anybody that gives birth to something, like a mother to a child, always has an abundance to give that child. Like a mother always has an abundance of milk, and the more the baby takes the milk, the more milk there is. And it's the same thing with us. We were born to enjoy that spiritual aspect of life. And I think what you do, Rachel, is by helping people kind of deal with the blocks and get rid of the blocks, you're actually preparing them to be able to just really live in the joyous moment of life, which is what life is all about. Did I describe it more or less about?
You sound perfect. Can I borrow those words from you?
Absolutely. You can quote me anytime.
I'll quote you anytime.
Yes, sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. So, Rachel, do you have any, I just wanted to know if you have any last words that you want to leave everybody with.
Well, you know, I think I've said it all. I mean, I just feel that I'm called to call forth the people who are inspired by their life's journey to step forward and, you know, serve others and help the planet heal and to know and to help use shamanism to help them find that deep medicine within them so that we can have a better world, you know, for future generations.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think the world is getting better and better every day thanks to people like you. Rachel, thank you so much again for joining us. I am
thanks,
so delighted.
Thanks, Tiffy. It's been great.
So
thank
lucky.
You so much. Okay. Bye.
Yes, we've come to the end of our time together here. Bye-bye, Rachel, on Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. We've been talking to Rachel Mann, PhD, very accomplished, amazing human being, who not only gives countless workshops and one-on-one teachings, but she has so much more behind her and so much experience. We're looking forward to hearing from you again, Rachel. Hopefully, it's going to be very soon. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, and thank you so much for joining us again. Don't forget, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It could be a story that you think is important or a story that you feel that you want to share. You have been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and we bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra. Aviators,
but your heart is